Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Alex James. I'm our Extension Watershed Coordinator for the Water Program at Auburn University. And I predominantly work on our projects that take a watershed approach to addressing things like non-point source pollution. And I wanted to talk to you about one of my most recent projects, Moores Creek. I typically work in urban systems. These have impaired waters, of course, because you have all of this extra development that leads to less infiltration, less groundwater recharge. So then in a rain event, you get a lot more runoff and issues associated with that. So this is Moores Creek. It's in Lynette, Alabama. It's in the southeast corner of Alabama, right on the Alabama-Georgia line. Moores Creek is that typical urban stream. We have impervious surfaces that are aiding in our runoff issues. We also have piped stormwater in two different locations. And then when we look at addressing these issues, we also have constraints and hazards like an underground sewer system or an overhead utility. And there's also buried trash, like buried trash everywhere. So all of this translates into that flashy hydrology that I mentioned before. During rain events, we get a lot more water and a lot more energy reaching the creek a lot faster than in a natural system. And with all of that increased energy, you get increased damage. Take a look at this picture from 2015, and then here in 2016, you can see the amount of erosion we're getting. It's really severe erosion. Plus, we have degraded water quality that's associated with that and our threatened infrastructure. You see that? That didn't used to be in the creek, but it is now. And poor Mr. Elliott is about to lose his parking lot and his truck. So all of this excess energy, excess water is really creating a problem. And then as the flip side of that, in drought events or dry times, you have that low base flow, which is detrimental to the habitat and stream population. And just in case you thought I was kidding about the trash, I'm not. There's trash buried everywhere in poor Moores Creek, everywhere. So it was really easy to see the issues with Moores Creek, and so that translates into easy partnerships to make. We can easily bring people to the table like Alabama Power, who's concerned about their pole that is now in the creek, or Mr. Elliott, who's concerned about his truck ending up in the creek. But what was important in fostering these relationships was not just, hey, here's your problem, I can fix it, let me come in. But we want to create a sustainable success environment. And so when we start talking to these people and bringing them on board with our project, we really need to create stakeholders out of them. And that kind of guarantees our long-term success. And so when we start looking at our solutions, we want to go in and do a stream restoration on this small section that I just showed you. And that involves putting in in-stream structures, restoring the habitat, but also taking our message outside in the watershed and telling people what we're doing and having them get involved as well. But the main goal of our stream restoration there was to redirect a lot of that stormwater energy and address that issue. And we can reconnect Moores Creek to its floodplain, and that allows us to redistribute a lot of that energy. And of course, we need money to do it. We got a grant from the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. We got a 319 grant. These monies are specifically earmarked for addressing those non-point source pollution issues in impaired waters. So we pulled our contractor down from North Carolina. North State Environmental does a good job, and first things first, we started pulling the trash out of the creek. But they worked really closely with our environmental engineers to create an environmentally engineered solution for addressing these issues, addressing that stormwater problem, addressing all of that excess energy. And they used a cut-fill balance approach so that, because we're trying to recreate habitat here, that's the main issue, we want to use the most natural approach possible. And so they reused a lot of materials that were found on site. And we did have to haul in about 500 tons of boulders that were not found on site, but we used those to create these structures like bank armoring or the boulder crossing you see being installed here. And then construction took about a little over a month to complete, and that gave us the opportunity to take our message out in the watershed, to talk to city councils, to have our engineers graciously led several tours and demonstration education events. We went into the schools. The elementary schools love when projects like this are in their area because that means they get that hands-on education that I think you were talking about is so important. So we were able to have a couple field days with our elementary schools, and we even implemented a monthly monitoring program with one of the elementary schools. They're right next to Morse Creek, so they can go down and start sampling water and seeing all of this chemistry in action, getting that hands-on approach. We even had one of our elementary schools detect a sewage leaking problem and report that to the city for us. So that was a huge measure of success, in my opinion. But here's what everything looks like when we're all said and done. We've got our bank armoring that's protecting Mr. Elliott's parking lot now. His truck maybe won't end up in the creek anymore. We've got our in-stream structures that, again, redirect that stormwater flow and redistribute the energy. And we have taken a step toward reestablishing habitat there with our deep pools, our riffles. And we also installed, you see the blue tags here on the screen, live stakes and other native vegetation. And those selected plants were are deeply rooted native species that are going to help further erosion control and create that habitat. They'll provide shade as mature plants to help with temperature control and everything in the stream. And you can also see here where the stream was reconnected to its floodplain. They installed a flood bench to address those issues. And this project was only started or completed in May, but already we can estimate that we're getting about a 30% reduction in sediment. And that translates to right around 300 tons per year. So that's a success story. But what have we done when we've gone in and done these projects? Yes, we're improving water quality, and we've installed these beautiful structures. But if you haven't gone out into the watershed, if you don't have that stakeholder involvement, if you haven't engaged with the community, what have you really done? At another conference I was at, somebody said, you've created a beautiful conveyance for dirty stormwater. And that's exactly right. Unless you can bring those stakeholders on board and have them really, these structures are going to require some maintenance in the future. They're going to require some repair potentially in the future. And so you need your stakeholders on board to make sure that that is seen to and happens. Just another quick before and after look. So the way that we measure that success is not in pounds of nitrogen reduced or pounds of phosphorus reduced. It is, but also, more importantly, in my opinion, is the stakeholder involvement. And we see that in the in-kind contributions to the project. The city of Lynette bent over backwards to ensure that this project was successful in hauling trash away or in helping us plant native species. We also have those water quality monitoring programs in the schools that I was talking about. One of the key clubs is interested in sending out their students to do monthly monitoring as well. So we have additional partners that are coming on board with our project. And then we also have these future projects identified. When we go out and talk to the city councils or the county commission, they have something now that they can look at and see, yes, this is a success story, and yes, that we want that implemented in our area. And so I mentioned those technical tours. We actually had the mayor of Valley, which is a community or a city just downstream. He came up for one of the tours, and now he wants this section of the creek to be remediated as well because it just happens to flow right in front of City Hall. But he's had that tangible experience where he can see that this is working, and he wants that too, and a couple other stream projects identified. But the most exciting thing that's happened so far is I actually got a phone call on Friday from the city planner in Lynette, and he said, hey, we've got a creek. It's not around Morse Creek anywhere, but it's in the city. It's impacting us. And we understand now that we have stormwater issues. We understand now why this is happening, and we want you to help us make sure that we're doing the right thing to control these problems. And so that was really encouraging for me. So we will continue to work with the City of Valley, we will continue to work with the City of Lynette, and with Alabama Department of Environmental Management to continue and implement these projects until Moores Creek is off that impaired waters list. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have time for questions. Anybody in the group? Yes.
Budget estimates on how much it costs to do that? So
Just repeat that.
Yeah, there's a question about budget estimates about the cost associated. What is it, about $3 a linear foot? Is that what we say?
For the stream restoration. One, yeah, for this, it was probably $300,000 or so for the restoration project, but then there are also stormwater BMPs and out at the time.
Right.
So that's what I mean, is the education included?
Oh, it is. You
know. Right. This whole project, it was a 2-year process, and we got about $500,000.
Mm-hmm. And you can't do it without doing it.
Yeah. Good. There were some other questions. Yes.
I was just curious. Your thoughts kind of in this area and then larger scale is how can we maybe become more proactive about issues like this versus reactive? Like we see the huge problem there, yet it keeps happening and we come back and, you know, do these projects on an individual basis, but how might we be able to go about, you know, educating younger people or reaching out to people before it gets to this level?
Right.
Any of your insight or experiences?
I think having a success story to look at is really important, because that was the biggest thing in Valley, that downstream community. They saw what was happening upstream and how they were, you know, slightly impacted during construction. So then they got really interested. What's going on? We want to see what's going on. So having a success story is key. But also, like, just that education and outreach. When you're in an area like this and doing these programs, we're not talking to them strictly about here's what a stream restoration is. We talk to them about non-point source pollution. We talk to them about stormwater and erosion control. And so going out and providing that education, especially in the elementary schools, is key. And then social media, of course. Whenever we're doing something out of the creek, we're posting stuff on Facebook, you know, here's what's happening on Moores Creek, or here are volunteers that have come out to help plant things and things like that. Does that answer your question?
Well, thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.
Very good.